call a meeting to order, please? Council members, microphones are live. Mike, roll call.
Mayor Hiermath.
Here.
Vice Mayor Waters.
Here.
Councilmember Hornet.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
Would everybody please rise for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you and good evening, everyone. Upcoming meeting announcements. Ms. Nowak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. We're actually announcing a couple of cancellations. So the Board of Adjustment meeting on the 27th has been canceled, as has the Historic Preservation Commission meeting, which was on July 3rd. And the next town council regular session will be July 5th here in Chambers. Also a late note here, planning and zoning for July 6th has been canceled. But before all of that, we hope you plan to join us for the 4th of July at Naranja Park. If you go to JDK, you'll be there all by yourself. So please go to Naranja Park. Fireworks this year. Come early. Get on-site parking. If you hear of anyone having trouble getting on-site parking, because it will likely fill up, our friends down at Ironwood Ridge are letting us do overflow parking down the road. So that's plan B. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any council reports?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Snyder.
We have a spotlight on youth this evening. Asim Ahmad. Asim, would you join me at the podium? I need that? Okay. Asim is going to be a junior at Basis Oro Valley, and he is a new member of our Youth Advisory Council, which we're very excited about as well. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about this young man. Asim already possesses a tremendous sense of community. He has extensive involvement in every community-based group or opportunity at school, such as United Students of Basis and the JAG Pack. That's a very active student group on campus. As a student at Basis Oro Valley and a member of the National Honor Society, he's held to the highest academic standards, and he has the GPA to prove it. He was named the Honors Chemistry Student of the Year. That takes a lot of time and focus. He's also a very fine athlete. This year he played both basketball and volleyball, both which require discipline and commitment. He seems to like that kind of stuff. In fact, he was recognized as the Volleyball Offensive Player of the Year this year. In a letter of recommendation for the Youth Advisory Council, a Sims teacher, Curtis Westby, had this to say about him. I like to read these because I don't want to get his quote wrong. Quote, Asim is a hardworking and driven person who always finds a way to balance school, athletics, and involvement while maintaining a healthy, positive attitude toward each. Now as a member of the Youth Advisory Council, he's looking forward to developing an even stronger bond to our community, representing our youth, and we look forward to your efforts in that regard. I've been in a couple of meetings with this young man, and he's got a lot of energy. He's going to light it up. He already has quite a bit of experience in impacting our community in meaningful ways. He recognizes the discomfort often experienced by Muslims living in our politically charged environment. His strong involvement at the Muslim Community Center has allowed him to volunteer his time helping refugees get food and learn about our culture so that they may more comfortably engage with others. We are so proud to recognize this young man, and I want to thank you for your spirit of community, your desire, as you expressed in your application and everything I've read about you, to bring people together for the common good. And so we're excited to honor you, and I'm going to ask you to accept this plaque.
First off, I want to thank God for blessing me with the opportunity to be in the position that I am today. I'd also like to thank my family for constantly pushing me to be the best person I can possibly be every single day and instilling the trust in the process, and that there's going to be some down times, there's going to be some very good moments, but to always stay humble throughout the whole process. And lastly, I'd like to thank the faculty and administration at bases. They work so hard every day, whether it is to come in earlier or leave later. They do what we need to do, and they make the environment at bases something that cannot be matched by any other school in the entire country. It's an honor to just be up here today. This whole year was a humbling experience, and thank you for the award.
Councilmember Solomon.
Last week, the town had the privilege of hosting the Arizona Historic Preservation Conference at the El Conquistador, and it was quite a large crowd, enthusiastic. I explained to them that Oro Valley really values our natural, cultural, and historical preservation, and we were sorry the mayor wasn't there to greet them, but he was on his own preservation trip. He had gone to Disneyland to preserve his childhood. The one common thread that we had from these folks who've been all over the state and other locations is they were all just so impressed with Oro Valley and its beauty and its location, its setting. So we had a lot of nice compliments from that, and I believe that they all enjoyed themselves and had a great conference at the El Conquistador.
Fantastic. Any other council reports?
I also was at that conference and explained to them that you were called away to Disneyland, but everyone in the town, on the council and in the town, agreed that I would be the best example of a historically preserved elected official. But they were very, very gracious, and they toured Steam Pump Ranch. They listened to Steve down at the Last Territory, and they were there in force. This is a great group of people. These are the people that, if you're a photographer, for instance, as I told them, you can be confident that these people are out there making sure that when you return to a photographic masterpiece in the state of Arizona, it'll be there when you get back. And I thank them for that. Thanks.
Any other reports? All right, there being none, we'll move to department reports. Mr. Sharp?
Mr. Mayor, we have no reports.
All right. I have reviewed the order of business, and it will stand as posted. I do not have any call to the audience speakers. Does anybody like to address the council? We'll move right on to consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Hornet.
I'd like to pull item H.
H, okay. Any other items being pulled? If not, I entertain a motion for A through G.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 7-0. Mike, letter H.
Review and approval of the Planning Division two-year work plan, fiscal year 17-18 and 18-19.
Councilmember Hornet.
Mr. Mayor, we've talked about this before, and this is just a minor add. I full support of the plan as it exists, and I congratulate them on it, actually. The one item I would like them to add some new code this year, is the term limits for boards and commissions. I'd like to see that removed. And the reasoning is that, one, it's difficult to get some participation from the community in some of these boards, people stepping up. Two, we've got some good people on it already. I'm not asking that that would very likely like to carry over. And as Councilmember Pena knows, in the Water Utility Commission, we took two people, let them take a year off, and brought them back because we needed them,
right,
versus let them continue. So we still have the opportunity. They serve at the pleasure of the council. They still have two-year commitments, although Water Utility is three, I believe. And it just gives them a little more opportunity to contribute. And as I said, after their 2 years, they can be invited back or not invited back. But just to term them out just doesn't make sense under the current environment anyway. So I'd ask that council approve that small addition.
Councilmember Rodman?
Yes, I'd like to support Councilmember Hornet's suggestion for that change. It's without question oftentimes difficult to find people who are willing to spend, to give us the time and the expertise. And certainly it takes time to learn the process and to be able to be the kind of contributing member. So I strongly support what Councilmember Hornet is suggesting.
All right, there's a motion and a second on the floor. Any further discussion? All in favor of letter H say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries 7-0. Mike, regular agenda item number one.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding two requests related to the proposed villages at Silverhawk Residential Subdivision, located on the southeast corner of Tangerine Road and North First Avenue. 1A, grading exception. 1B, conceptual site plan, landscape plan, recreation area plan.
Gary, I know the staff report's going to be combined for A and B. Do we need two separate motions?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So presentation will be combined, council, and then we'll ask for a motion for A, and then we'll move for a motion for B. Mr. Spaeth.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you. As Mr. Standish indicated, our purpose for this item is to consider two requests related to the villages at Silverhawk Residential Subdivision. The subject property is highlighted in yellow, as shown on the screen, is near the southeast corner of Tangerine Road and North First Avenue, and is immediately north of Palisades Road. Just to orient folks, to the east, we do have the Catalina Shadows Residential Subdivision. To the south, we have the Sanctuary at Silverhawk Residential Subdivision under construction now, an area known as the Palisades Splits, and then to the west we have the Tangerine Meadows Residential Subdivision.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but again, could you ask Mike to speak into the microphone?
Sure, absolutely. You may want to just hold that up, Mike.
You need to have Bill take his talk.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
Realize it came up. Thank you. Sorry about that. Yes, I will speak, Ms. Louder, Councilmember Rodman. As many of you are familiar, the site was the subject of a prior rezoning approval in 2015, as shown on the left side of the screen. That included two components, the commercial, shown in red, and then the remaining residential component, which is the subject of tonight's request. And the key today is really to evaluate the proposed conceptual site plan as it relates to that approved rezoning from 2015. As many of you are familiar, as part of that process, we had an extensive public participation process, really reaching out to neighbors to try and address a number of their concerns and issues that they had. Ultimately, this effort resulted in the design that you see shown on the image on the left, which essentially numbered down the number of lots, the lot size, the orientation of the subdivision, including the substantial buffers on the east side as well as to the south. Again, we also narrowed down as part of that effort the avoidance of some of the regulated hill slopes or hillsides out in this area, as well as the washes shown in blue. No access to Palisades Road was a primary issue of neighbors during the public participation process. And then also single-story home restrictions for the area shown in purple here near the southwest corner of the site. All of those conditions that were addressed as part of that rezoning have been carried forward into the conceptual site plan and have been incorporated, and I'll go through those in my coming slides. So again, as Mr. Standish indicated, the first request is a grading exception to exceed the cut and fill standards of the zoning code. That request is for cuts and fills that range from 6 feet to 20 and a half feet. As shown on the image on the right, it's kind of a heat map, if you will. For the blue colors are the fills, and then the yellows, oranges, and reds are the areas where cuts are proposed. Just as a little bit of information for folks, cuts are when dirt is removed from a site, and fills, of course, are the opposite of that, where dirt is brought in to make the developable area more conducive to development. So some key factors that are used as part of this evaluation are shown there on the screen. They include topography. Many of you familiar with the site, there is some unique topographical constraints out there, some hillsides, again, some washes. Approximately 50% of the site is being preserved as open space. A majority of these areas will not be visible from surrounding properties, again, by that unique topography, and so that will minimize some of the potential view impacts that may come from this development. The homes were strategically placed, again, to avoid those hillsides and kind of tuck into some of the pockets that those areas created and avoid some of those and nestle them in so that, again, we will minimize some of those potential impacts. There is a condition in Attachment 1 that does require any disturbed slopes and exposed slopes to be recontoured and revegetated back to as close a natural state as possible. And the applicant is here to provide more specifics on the grading should any questions arise. My mic or my thing died here. Chuck, can you move me along, I guess, or give me control back?
There we go.
Yes. Emphasis intended. As the second request, again, related to the subdivision is for the conceptual site plan. It is for 186 lots on approximately 124 acres, with property sizes ranging from around 6,500 square feet to a little over 12,000 square feet. Again, as I mentioned before, building height limitations have been incorporated again into this conceptual site plan. The darker purple here again are lots that are expressly restricted to single story, and then the kind of neon purple or neon pink, if you will, along First Avenue within 200 feet of the right of way are limited to 18 feet in height for flat roofed homes and 20 feet in height for pitched roof homes. So both of those areas, again, have carried forward some of those building height restrictions that were established and discussed as part of the rezoning. Again, as I stated, the conceptual site plan does have approximately 60 acres or 49% of the site preserved as open space. There are three access points, two onto First Avenue, as shown here on the screen, and then a third future access to Tangerine Road on the north side of the property. As part of the rezoning, there was some continued concern from staff of potential future traffic impacts in the area, and so a condition, if you'll recall, was included on that rezoning to address that issue down the road. As part of this conceptual site plan, a future traffic signal will be incorporated here at Kai Drive and North First Avenue as traffic impacts are warrant that construction of that signal. So that is designed to address that remaining rezoning condition. During the process, a cultural resource site was identified in the northeast corner of the site, highlighted here in brown. The survey that was conducted in the field identified two pit houses as well as several burn pits and other associated cultural resources, which is very, very exciting, very significant. And so there are conditions, again, in Attachment 2 requiring a conservation easement be provided to the town over that area, as well as several other conditions designed to protect that resource in perpetuity. So very excited to see that as part of the subdivision. Lastly, we do have four recreation areas incorporated into the subdivision shown by these four green arrow or stars, excuse me, that are spread out through the subdivision and provide convenient access for residents. There are also several trails incorporated into the design, two primary ones shown there in orange. I do want to note that there is a clarification from the conceptual site plan that was provided in your packet. The easternmost trail, as shown here, is intended for equestrian use. The westernmost trail is listed as equestrian use in your packets, but it is designed for pedestrian, not equestrian use. So just wanted to make that clarification. The conceptual landscape plan does include landscaped entries as well as landscape buffer yards along the perimeter of the subdivision. We are aware that a primary focus for this proposed development is view impacts, again, from First Avenue. And so the conceptual landscape plan does incorporate enhanced buffer yards along that right-of-way to help mitigate those potential visual impacts, as well as each individual lot along that right-of-way will also have walls that help obscure and minimize potential impacts. Again, there was an extensive public participation effort conducted as part of the prior rezoning. And again, I just want to emphasize that through that process, a number of the agreements with neighbors, the design changes that were established as part of that process have been carried through before you and on the conceptual site plan that's before you tonight. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to just provide a quick summary. So item 1A, actually, the grading exception is consistent with the zoning code or criteria specific to grading exception requests. And the Conceptual Design Review Board has recommended approval of that request subject to the conditions in Attachment 1. And item 1B is consistent with both the rezoning tentative development plan and the applicable zoning code requirements. And the Conceptual Design Review Board recommends approval of that request subject to the conditions in Attachment 2. And you beat me to the punch, but Mr. Mayor, there are a requirement for two motions tonight. So thank you. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Councilors have any questions for Mr. Spaeth? This is a public hearing, so if there's questions for Mr. Spaeth, I'll open the public hearing, close the public hearing, and then go from there. Council have any questions?
I'm
good. Councilman Rodman, any questions?
No, I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Mayor.
Well, it's a public hearing, so let me open the public hearing.
Oh.
All right, thanks, Mr. Spaeth. This is a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing. I do have one speaker, Virginia Kasparak.
Close, Kasparzak.
Kasparzak.
I have two concerns, one about the process and one about the actual content of the grading exception request. I think the timing is really bad. This is June. We've got a lot of people who are away, winter residents and people on vacation because kids are out of school. I think it should have been presented at a time when the majority of the residents who were notified about this are here to take a look at it. Secondly, our notification, the first thing we saw was the sign that says you can get details on ovprojects.com. So I went on there, and all I got was the conceptual plan. There was nothing about the grading variance. The sign was changed to show that there were two meetings, last Tuesday night and tonight, and there was no indication anywhere that I could find, either on the website or on the mailing, that it was going to be presented to council for approval tonight. So I think we were taken off guard, and I'm sure a lot of people were, just because of informational issues. Main concern, though, is with the request for the exception. It's the request I just found out tonight concerns filling uneven areas beyond the limits permitted by the zoning codes from 6 to 20.5 feet. And staff supports the request due to the hilly nature of the site. When the people bought this property, they knew what the site looked like. They knew what they were going to be able to do with it. We live as close to the building lots as anybody, and we can't help but feel that no matter what they say, this is going to affect us and a lot of other people. in some respects. I think it's wrong to even be considering it at this time. I think it's wrong to do it at all, but I think it should be postponed until more people have a chance to look at it. That may be why there aren't people here from our neighborhood, because you all know that we have a lot of people, a lot of outspoken people who live in this community. I guess my main concern is, why are they even requesting it? The gentleman who just spoke said it's permitted within the criteria permitted by the zoning code, but the zoning code doesn't permit this kind of exception. So I would request that you decline to approve the exception. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further speakers, so I'll close the public hearing. Mr. Keeser or Mr. Spaeth, would you care to address the neighborhood meetings or the meeting request? And it's my understanding that the cut and fill requirements for the exception is to actually blend the development more into the area to make it more natural, and that's why their exception for the grading variance, in order to hide these homes a little bit better and blend them into the hillside. Is that not correct?
Mayor Hyamuth, yes, that is correct. So we have two issues here. I'll let Mr. Spaeth address the public comment when I get done with the with the grading exception. If whoever's managing this, could you pull up the heat map of showing the grading exception? And if I could have the laser pointer. So essentially, what we have here, just to orient everybody, between First Avenue and Palisades Road, is we have some drainage corridors that come down through here. So essentially, the site is high on the outside along First Avenue and along Palisades through here, and it slopes down to these drainage areas. From this side, from the east, it slopes down to these drainage areas. So there's a ridge line over here. There's essentially a ridge line around North First Avenue. If you notice the grading exception itself, as they try to nestle the subdivision into the natural grade, they are trying to, from an overall perspective, respect that this whole site overall grades this direction down. So they want to lower the homes over here. That actually helps the folks over on this side, because what it does is it helps get the homes as less impactful as people want to view to the east over to the mountain range. Over here, down the very bottom, what they're doing is they can only lower so much over here, but because these houses are across the road, they have to be at relatively the same elevation. These have to come up a little bit out of those drainage areas. And kind of the same thing over here. You're noticing this is where there's some undulation in the existing terrain. Sure, you can build a subdivision that you don't need a grading exception, but what you're going to end up doing is you're going to be building the houses higher in these regions. You're going to be building the houses higher in these regions. The places where the cut is higher is primarily right here. It's going to be a drainage issue, but it evens it out. It helps it follow the natural terrain in a better configuration and be less impactful to the neighbors. That's in general why they're doing this.
Mr. Keeser, what does the current zoning code allow for from ground zero for cut and fill?
Sure. Now, our current zoning code allows 6 feet for cut and fill. You can get up to 8 feet if you incorporate terraces. That's generally in a commercial setting. So our zoning code is very, very restrictive, and it makes us want to, again, respect and honor the existing terrain. And our zoning code is purposeful in that. But the zoning code is also very purposeful that it has a grading exception criteria in it. Because we've made the regulations so stringent to make sure that we don't end up getting in here and flat cutting the whole thing across, or even worse, raising it above and becoming an eyesore for everybody else. We have a grading exception criteria. That's what the applicant's bringing forward tonight, is that there are provisions in the zoning code to say, well, wait a second, we can make things less impactful if we could do a little bit more cut and a little bit more fill. And that's essentially the purpose here. And one other thing I want to point out, the color is where the grading exception is. The grading is really
relegated to these areas where you actually see the homes. Where you don't see the homes, that's all left in a natural state. There's no grading over there. Again, a little bit different than you see in some of the other mass graded subdivisions where you see grading over the entire development. This is very, very limited to the exact areas to where the actual homes will be because they had such high requirements for open space.
Thank you. The reason I ask that is because I'm personally familiar with getting a grading exception variance. My house, where I live now, the cut and fill, to your point, was 6, maximum 8 feet, and I had to request a variance of a cut and fill of 18 feet. I could have placed my house on that flat portion, but it would have been the tallest house up there. And so getting together with the neighbors and getting it together with the town and getting together with my architect, we decided it's better to try to conform to the natural area and not have just one house sticking way up tall like a radio tower. And so I would imagine the same process came through with just the entire process, how it worked from our standpoint in order to make things a little bit more blend in from the developer standpoint in creating a cut and fill, because it is going to be more expensive for them as well every That's right. time you have a grading exception. So I think that the process allowed for both sides to create that balance, and yet how do you get the end product to where you don't just build on the natural terrain because you need to have very different levels of elevation for homes.
Mayor, that's absolutely correct. If I could put two areas. Right here is a little knoll that you can see right off of First Avenue, and right here is another knoll. These two areas are about, I want to say, 4 feet higher than the sidewalk along First Avenue. So you could build the house up on top of that thing, but boy, that house would be way up in the air. Again, what they're trying to do is they're trying to cut the house down and have it be less impactful. And it is more expensive to move more dirt.
Thank you. Thank you. Vice Mayor Waters?
I created a bit of a kerfuffle about this because of my architectural training. Always in a development this significant, I would have been required to have a 3D look at it somehow, topographical or otherwise. I know that's expensive. I know that it can be done on computer now, but I'm also told it's not required for our meeting tonight. So I, along with Councilwoman Pena and Councilwoman Snyder and I, went out on this summer day. I believe it was 187 degrees today.
It was.
Because I had to see the land, and Paul Kiesler and Byron Vella came along and sweated along with us, and we went from the lower region to the upper region and got a general idea of how this is going to be laid out. We stood in the backyard up at the top along First Avenue of one of the sets of houses and looked down to where others were going to be, where the road is going to be. I had trouble at first with a 20.5, and I found out that big red splotch at the top has got to do with an access road there. That's the biggest cut of all. But I understand you're going to provide me with some kind of indication of what the site's going to look like, in addition to the view I get from a geosynchronous orbit. You know, I can look down on that, see the colors and all that, but I can't really see the site. So I don't want you to think that I'm sore because I was standing out in the heat today. I just wanted to see more because I've been following this project for a long time now, and I think it's a wonderful layout. I mean, the whole thing is tremendous, but when it got to this point, I wanted to see what, you know, how it developed finally. And I understand it's just a site plan, but I plan to, later on this evening, suggest ways that perhaps my requirements can be met so that, see, when I went to the School of Architecture, there was no such thing as pop-outs. And now it's part of the Oro Valley lexicon, and so I guess I'm behind the time, forgive me. With that all said, I'd like to move to recommend approval of the grading exception for the Villages at Silver Hawk subdivision, subject to the conditions listed in attachment one, finding the request to be consistent with the evaluation criteria.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion on 1A? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Vice Mayor Waters, we want to make a motion.
Sure. I move to recommend approval of the conceptual site plan, landscape plan, and recreation plan for the villages of Silverhawk subdivision. Subject to the conditions in attachment two, finding the request to be in conformance with the design principles and applicable design standards.
Mayor and Vice Mayor and the Council, for purpose of the record, will the makers of the motion, not making it a motion to recommend, but a motion to approve? I believe that's the intent. Is that correct?
For that is correct. Okay. Motion to approve.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Approval.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a second?
There is.
All right. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Standish, number two.
Discussion and possible action regarding a proposed conceptual site plan and landscape plan for the Viewpoint 2 at Vistoso Trails subdivision located on Moore Road, approximately 1/4 mile east of the Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore Road intersection.
Mr. Spaeth, is that you again?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, me again, yes. Sorry, I had to get this clicker. Make sure I hold this up so Councilmember Rodman can hear me. So, again, as Mr. Standish indicated, our purpose for this item is to consider a proposed conceptual site plan and landscape plan for the Viewpoint 2 residential subdivision. The subject property, again shown in yellow, is immediately north of the Honeybee Village Archaeological Preserve, shown here in green. It is immediately adjacent to the future Moore Road loop that is shown in this dashed line. It is surrounded by, on the south, Hohokam Mesa residential subdivision. To the north, we do have the Ridgeview Patio Homes, Mattamy residential subdivision that is currently under construction. And then right at the intersection of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore Road, we do have the Viewpoint at Vistoso Trails residential subdivision, which is also a Mattamy home product. I'd like to just point out a couple of things that really impacted the conceptual site plan that are shown in color on the screen just for ease of visibility. We've got, of course, again, the preserve to the south, and then some significant slopes and hillsides that are shown here in blue. And then those two site constraints really drove and determined what the overall layout of the subdivision essentially could be, what it would be. So that conceptual site plan, working within those parameters, is for 45 lots with lot sizes ranging from about 4,500 square feet to just over 5,800 square feet. We do have one access point highlighting here to Moore Road. The plan also includes pedestrian connections both to the west to a multi-use path that is currently under construction along Moore Road, as well as a primitive trail that is on the south side of the property here that will actually provide access to the larger trail network in the area, providing access to both Big Wash and Honeybee Wash. The conceptual landscape plan does again include landscape buffers along Moore Road, as well as some enhanced landscaping at the entrance. And then those hillsides, again, that were one of the determining factors of what the overall subdivision site can be, are quite visible from Moore Road, as you can see on the image on the right here. Again, I've carried the blue over just for simplicity's sake. And so the conceptual landscape plan does incorporate some enhanced landscaping in those areas, again, to help minimize the potential view impacts of those hillside slopes. We did have one neighborhood meeting regarding the applicant's request. Again, if you'll recall back to the aerial on the location map, there aren't a ton of neighbors in this area at the moment. Currently, there's only one subdivision to the south where there are actually homes. All the other ones are either vacant or under construction right now. The Hohokam Mesa subdivision to the south is primarily where the residents who attended the neighborhood meeting are from. And they had a few concerns regarding the proposal. Those included traffic, the archaeological preserve, as well as building height. Staff and the applicant did indicate the current construction of the traffic signal at the intersection of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Moore Road and the anticipated benefits from that signal to impact traffic in the area. We did work with Pima County, who of course is the landowner of the Honeybee Village Archaeological Preserve through this process, and there will be no impacts to that existing wall surrounding the property. And then, of course, the site plan will be subject to the two-story limitations on homes of the zoning code. So in summary, Mr. Mayor, the proposal is consistent with both the zoning code and the Rancho Vistoso design guidelines, and the Conceptual Design Review Board has recommended approval of the applicant's request. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Councilmember Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mike, under the public participation notes here, in the we're addressing the building height for two-story homes was discussed. And it says no more than two-story homes in a row across the street from, and then there's nothing after that. Is that just a typo or?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Snyder, yes, that is, unfortunately. Thank you for pointing that out. So, right, so the one of the code restrictions is that you cannot have more than two next to each other or more than two across from each other. So we do have some fairly decent restrictions in terms of the variety as far as it applies to two-story homes or single-story homes in the zoning code.
Councilmember Hornet.
Mike, are those the, that's, is that the Rancho Vistoso PAD that says that, or was that something we added?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Hornet, that is from our zoning code.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Robin, any questions?
I have one more.
You still there?
Tremendous. No, no, I don't have anything. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Councilmember Snyder.
He was across the room. one quick question. You mentioned the traffic signal. I'm getting a lot of questions from residents in the area about the timing of that signal. Is that something you can address or the applicant could address?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Snyder, I'd happily defer that to the town engineer if I could.
Mayor and Council, I did speak with the president of Madame Homes for the local region, and he's given me a commitment that it's going to be operational by the end of July.
Excellent.
The conduits are already in. It's a matter of just erecting the poles.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Councilmember Solomon.
I'd like to make a motion.
Good.
I move to approve the conceptual site plan and landscape plan for the Viewpoint 2 at Vistoso Trails subdivision based on a finding that the request is consistent with the conceptual design review principles and design standards as well as the Rancho Vistoso PAD.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Standish, number three.
Discussion and possible action to amend the fiscal year 2016-17 adopted budget to transfer general fund surplus to town self-insurance benefit fund and community center fund and authorize additional surplus general funds for the repayment of public safety personnel retirement system excess contributions to members.
Ms. Lamos.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As this item indicates, we are requesting council approval.
Can you hear me now? It's on.
It's on.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, you just have to speak
lean
loud.
I will lean in. This item requests council approval to amend the current year budget in order to utilize estimated general fund surplus funds to transfer certain funds to the self-insurance benefit fund and the town's community center fund to close projected end of the year estimated deficits in those funds. As well, council authorization is requested this evening to further utilize those surplus funds to reimburse our certain eligible public safety employees for excess pension contributions that they paid into the pension system over the last 5 years due to a law that was ruled unconstitutional, and those excess contributions are now required to be refunded back to those pension members, and it's up to the employers to be able to do that up front. And so I'll start first with the Community Center Fund requested transfer. Based on the year-end estimated projections in the April financials that were on this evening's council agenda, it's estimated that the Community Center Fund will end the year with a negative balance of about $285,000, which also includes the $120,000 loan repayment back to the general fund. So therefore, staff is requesting that the council authorize the use of general fund surplus funds, which are estimated also on the general fund statements that you saw in the April financials at nearly $2 million this year, to utilize a portion of those funds, $350,000 of those funds, to transfer to the general or to the community center fund to close that estimated deficit at year end. Some of the contributing factors to that deficit, as indicated in the council communication, arose from higher than planned water consumption usage during the spring months due to the dry and seasonably dry and hot conditions, and then the golf member dues trending under budget throughout the fiscal year. It's important to note that these funds that are being utilized from the general fund are one-time funds. They're surplus funds that are largely being generated from the one-time construction revenues that we're seeing in the general fund that have exceeded budget. So it's an appropriate use to use these funds to transfer to the community center fund to close that deficit. It's also an important point to note as well that in the community center fund, as you know, we've been watching this fund since we acquired this facility. And last year, last fiscal year, we ended the year in this fund with a deficit or a loss of approximately $860,000 last fiscal year, which did not include the $120,000 loan repayment back to the general fund. Again, council approved deferring that 1 year. So this year, it's estimated that the community center fund will end the year with an overall deficit of about $350,000, which includes the $120,000 loan repayment transferred back to the general fund. So this estimate at year end in that fund also includes the amount that we're investing of $50,000 in the golf feasibility study that our consultants are wrapping up at this point. That's again directed at seeking opportunities to further improve the finances of the golf and food and beverage operations at the facility. So again, the trends in this fund are definitely going in a positive direction year over year. And again, it's recognized that we are addressing this with the golf feasibility study to further look at options to improve the financial situation in this fund. So wanted to point that out in the community center fund. In terms of the transfer to the self-insurance benefit fund, throughout the last several months, we've included this as a possible option in our monthly financial reports, just noting our higher than average medical claims experience that we've seen. And so the estimated year-end trends in the self-insurance benefit fund are looking at an approximate deficit of about $200,000 to $250,000 at year-end. And so we're seeking a transfer also from general fund surplus amounts of $300,000 to be able to help close that deficit and open up the new year next year with a slightly positive fund balance going into the new fiscal year. And then finally, we're further requesting use of the surplus funds in an amount of about $1 million to fund lump sum reimbursements or refunds back to certain eligible public safety pension members in our police department who are due refunds from the excess contributions that they contributed to the pension funds between 2011 and 2016 that were ruled unconstitutional by courts recently. And per federal law, the public safety pension system itself cannot directly refund these contributions back to the employees, and so it's up to the employers to refund those amounts. However, the public safety pension system is offering credit memos to the employers to be able to allow us to recoup that amount in our upcoming fiscal year by basically suspending our employer contributions that are budgeted next year up to the amount that we have paid out in these refunds. And so we expect to recover that $1 million throughout the first half of next fiscal year if council approves the measures this evening. Again, this is a best practice budget control, budget management measure that we're looking at this evening. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have, Mr. Mayor.
So I'll kind of recap. So with the PSPRS, because the law changed and they deemed it unconstitutional, we basically have to pay a little bit over $1 million. But what you're saying is that they're offering the credits on a monthly basis up to $1 million back. So it's basically an Correct. Even wash there.
Correct.
Okay. And then taken into the self-insurance benefit fund. I don't want anybody to think that because we went self-insured that the it was a mistake, because the cost savings for being on self-insured, how much have we saved since we've been on self-insured?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we've had our broker do some analysis for us, and just recently they updated that, and if I recall, it was about $1.5 million since inception. So we've been self-insured for about the last 3 or 4 years, and we've definitely been in a better place by being self-insured, by not paying the profits of being fully insured to the health companies.
And that could have been up to $1 million, $1.5 million, correct? Versus the $200,000 to $250,000.
That is correct.
And then also on the community center, so we've always stated that it was going to be a 6-year plan to be break even, and actually break even is not zero. It was always that the half-cent sales tax would cover the operation and maintenance and construction and improvements, et cetera. And so if I'm hearing you correct, we went from 860,000 plus loss last year to about 350,000, which this year loss, which is inclusive of the repay of the 120, which is going to go into the contingency account.
That's correct.
And the 50,000 for the consultant for the golf course analysis, correct?
That is correct.
And so the surplus for the all these, none of those are being withdrawn from the contingency account then, correct? If the 120 is going to go back in, we're not going to just take the 120 out and use it. I mean, this is really from the surplus in
the general fund.
This fiscal year?
Correct, yes. That is
well, I got to tell you, a couple of council meetings ago, I touted how talented you guys were and what we do and what we take for granted as far as what you do, receiving 23 years of awards consecutively. And I got to tell you, not only to your department, but Mr. Sharp's, you know, town manager status, and as well as all the other directors and team members, to be able to have that kind of a surplus at the end of the year that allow us to do these unexpected things and not have to really dip into the contingency account or not have to go into debt or, more importantly, not have to cut any service. I think it's a remarkable job, to be honest with you. And I just want to say thank you and kudos, Mr. Sharp, to your entire team. I just want to say thank you. So, Councilmember Snyder?
Yes, and something that the interim town manager and I have talked about a couple of times is something that we don't track currently is the amount of general fund revenue, amount of revenues that come into the general fund based on sports tourism activities that are generated by our tennis tournaments and other activities that involve the community center. And so we don't track those, but yet they go into the general fund in terms of they go into bed tax when they stay in our hotels. When they have an impact on our restaurants, all of that general fund. So the fact that we would, you know, use a portion of the general fund, where it's really in recognition of we do have money coming into the general fund from community center sports tourism events. And so I asked Stacy, do we track that? And she goes, well, no, not really, but that we do have that. So and I'd just like to say that if you look at the prior year, 860,000, and that did not include the 120, right? This year it was really 165,000 if you didn't take the 120, right?
Correct. That's
so
correct.
It's even a greater thing, and we are keeping, and all we're paying ourselves back. That's the important thing. We're moving money from one account to another, paying ourselves back. So, and this does not impact our balance in our reserve fund at all. So, correct? That's great.
Councilmember Rodman?
Yeah, my question to Stacy is, as I understand it, even after we move these funds, we are still well over the 25% contingency balance that we that the council has required up till now. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, with the ending fund balance at about $10.7 million, that's about 33% of the current year adopted expenditures in the general fund.
And that's after we move these funds, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yeah, just some reiterate something that the mayor had touched on. I just can get confusing with all these numbers being transferred here and moved here, but the real bottom line is we're finishing this year in close to $2 million in the black in surplus, and what we're doing, I mean, that's amazing. Illinois wish they were doing something like that as opposed to declaring bankruptcy. For a municipality, for a local government to end the year with in such good financial shape is nothing but outstanding. And what all we're doing is saying we're going to use those funds to reinvest in the community and the town just like we should. So I think we just don't want to miss the fact that, my goodness, I don't think any other municipality in the area or county has ended this year in the black like we have. So it's a great accomplishment. I know our staff has really controlled spending and, you know, saved nickels and dimes wherever they could. Going to self-insured was one of the examples. So I think it's just congratulations to everyone in the town that's worked so hard. And the fact that we should be on a rooftop shouting out that, look at Oro Valley, we're ending this year $2 million in the black. That's pretty phenomenal.
Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mayor Harrimath, council members. One of the things I think is important to note, too, is we will end up with positive fund balances, which I think it's important that meets audit compliance when we're looking at year-end positive fund balances. And sometimes we often forget that, but that's something very important for the town with audit compliance. Is that correct, Ms. Lemos?
That is correct.
Okay.
All right. With that, entertain a motion.
I move to approve the transfer of the following amounts from the fiscal year 2016-17 estimated general fund surplus funds, and further $300,000 to the self-insurance benefit fund, $350,000 to the community center fund, and further move to approve the use of general fund surplus funds for the lump sum refund of excess PSPRS contributions to all affected members as specified by the PSPRS pension system.
Second.
The motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Future agenda items. Vice Mayor Waters.
Sure. I would like to direct staff to provide an action item for the July 5th council meeting, helping us consider the possibility of amending the zoning code to include primary colors to the palette for use on architectural features in Oro Valley.
A second.
All right.
I have a second one, as I alluded earlier, and I'd rather get to this sooner rather than later, too, but I'll leave that to the agenda committee. I'd like a review of these rules governing the required visual support for applicants' development proposals.
I'll second that. Any other future agenda items? All right. There being none, there are no call to the audience speakers. So motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Good night, Bill.
Good night. 59.